This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to take a break. Come back, talk to CBS White House correspondent about this text thing, and the recipient of the text, the Atlantic reporter, was in New Orleans yesterday. And the thing that just drives me crazy about this is it really that hard to say I made a mistake? And when you're talking about Team Red or Team Blue, and what about Team USA? What about Team Red, White, and Blue in the military? Pete Hegseth texted a group of senior Trump administration officials telling them the precise time of military flights that would attack Houthi locations in Yemen. And they included on that the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, who was in New Orleans yesterday, as happenstance would have it. And after it came, he was sitting in didn't do anything wrong. He was just sitting in his car, and he got this text, and he held on to it. He didn't publish it until after it was all over. And he said, you know, this is not the way national security should work. So what does the Trump administration do? They try to call him they called him a sleazebag. That's what President Trump did. Hegseth says that he's a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes. The national security advisor Mike Waltz called him a loser. And again, all he did was receive the text. And he held on to it, and then he revealed it later. So now, yesterday, he published some more of the text that he received. I don't know if he published everything in its entirety, but I just don't understand the mindset here. A, do you support the military or not as an American? If you do, then you don't want this information going out there, not to mention to a reporter, but on the Signal app itself. You want them to be careful how they handle this information, right? So admit you made a mistake. Don't try to discredit the reporter who didn't do anything wrong. He didn't ask to be included in this chain. He just was. So that doesn't make him a loser. It doesn't make him a sleazebag. It doesn't make him a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who has a profession of peddling hoaxes. And then what's so stupid about this to me, that's your strategy. He has everything. You texted him everything. He's on a chain. So now you're going to tell the public that he's lying or that it's a hoax when he's got everything. You sent it to him. I don't know what they're thinking. I honestly don't. But I know as an American, not a Republican or a Democrat, I care about keeping the military secret safe. And I would think if you can take off your red or blue glasses, you should, too. Taking a break, come back, talk to CBS White House correspondent here on WWL. Joined now, Tommy Tucker, WWL 715, joined by Willie James Inman, CBS White House reporter. And I was talking earlier about the text and the mistake that was made. And instead of just admitting we made a mistake, shouldn't have happened, discredit the reporter, which makes no sense at all because he didn't do anything wrong. And then people are texting in now, putting on the conspiracy glasses. It was done on purpose. It was a leak on this. It's the reporter. It's this. It's that. The other thing, and it bothers me when you're so concerned with winning and defending the administration that the military comes secondary. Willie James, and good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well.
What do we know about this texting gate, whatever you want to call it? I hate to say that because people are going to get mad by me calling it that, but this blunder, well, including a reporter on this text about plans to attack before it happened, Houthi rebels.
Yeah, Yeah, it sure was a mistake, and the White House National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, has admitted as much. He's also taken responsibility for it. Behind the scenes here at the White House, well, first, I'll say publicly, officials, including the president, are standing by the National Security Advisor and the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, who shared operational plans about the attack on the Houthi rebels. We, of course, know now that a prominent journalist from The Atlantic was on that text chain. And behind the scenes here at the White House, officials had a conversation about whether or not Waltz should resign after he admitted the authenticity of this conversation in The Atlantic, that it was authentic. And the White House has said that this journalist was inadvertently added by Waltz in this case. The president, he's publicly supporting his national security team, but behind the scenes, he's quite irritated. And also watching a lot of the news coverage with this fallout surrounding this Signal chat. And now where we move from here is that the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee has called for an expedited review by the Inspector General at the Pentagon to look into this, to look into the facts of this, to come to determine what happened. Also, you have a court case now, a federal judge, James Boasberg, who has ordered the Trump administration to preserve those records, those text chats on the Signal messaging app, the texts that were exchanged between March 11th and March 15th. So this isn't going away anytime soon with not only the court case, but you have Congress asking for more information now as well.
As far as the use of the Signal app itself, is that approved for stuff like this?
Yeah, well, we heard the CIA director the other day talk about the Signal app use and how it's preloaded on some of the devices that the officials and workers get when they sign on to working at agencies such as the CIA. It perhaps approved in some type of ways for having limited communications, you know, but not necessarily approved to send classified type of information. Classified information is typically shared in specific environments, often what's called a SCIF. It's basically a room where you go, you don't have your cell phone, you have a way to communicate government classified information privately, away from prying eyes of adversaries and the public. In this case, though, the White House says they maintain that this wasn't classified information, but whatever you call it, it was certainly sensitive because it was battle plans or a operational plan about what was happening in real time before it happened. And this journalist who was on the text chain could see what was happening. So there's been a review. There's going to be a review, or they're certainly underway here at the White House and at the White House Counsel's Office about the use of Signal app. It is a widely used app here in Washington, D.C., amongst journalists and amongst government officials, though, I'll say that.
When it comes to the journalist himself, whom they tried to discredit, and I don't understand the strategy here, because he had all of the evidence, right? So why would you, do you understand why they would try to discredit him and say he was a hoaxer or whatever word they used when he was holding on to, he had everything, they knew what he had? I don't get that. I'm missing that part, Willie.
Yeah, well, that was part of the messaging campaign, not to admit that it was a mistake, right? That, when the White House came out and responded to this story, the line of attack was to attack the journalist, to attack the publication. We saw that consistently.
They knew he had it. That's what I don't get.
Yeah. I mean, it's your guess is as good as mine. But that was the communication strategy. At least they thought that they could attack the journalist, attack the publication. One of the ways that the White House sought to pivot was to say, well, the operation was successful. That's what we should really be focused on here. But a big focus of this is the fact that this information, whether or not it's classified or sensitive, certainly was not meant for public view, for the eyes of a journalist to have access to, because we typically do not get a play-by-play timestamp readout of what type of weapons were used when the jets launched. We typically don't get that information even after an operation takes place when we receive the notification from the U.S. military that a specific strike has taken place. So nonetheless, however the White House wants to spin it, it certainly was not information that was meant for public consumption.
Thank you, Willie.
Whether or not they want to say it's classified or sensitive or not.
I'm out of time. I appreciate your time. I really do. Willie James Inman, CBS White House correspondent, 722 traffic now, WWL. 726 now on this Friday morning, talking to Kevin Ferguson, Vice President of Membership and External Affairs for New Orleans and Company. Our friends over there had a great time at the Super Bowl and at Mardi Gras. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great this morning, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me what's happening with the first ever Job Fest.
Oh, well, we're excited to have it. It's definitely not our first one. So we're actually approaching our 10-year anniversary of this summer in June. So this is
first ever weekend,
first ever weekend Job Fest.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
All right.
It's been a great opportunity for us. It's something that we do typically quarterly, if not three times a year, to really connect our industry to the community with opportunities, not just for jobs, but for careers. And so this year, or this month, we decided to do one on Saturday. We always kind of look at timing and different things and where the best opportunities to get people. And so we decided this year to do one on a weekend. It's going to be at Zulu Social Aid and Pleasure Club this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Of course, we're monitoring the weather like everybody else. But we'll have updates posted on our website and social media if anything changes. But for now, we're moving forward with it. And it's really a great opportunity, again, to connect our community with opportunities in the industry. And I always tell people, it's not just jobs, it's careers. When you look on the sheet and you look at who's there and the positions that are open, we have everything from entry-level positions all the way up to management and more senior positions as well. It can go from front of the house, back of the house. It can be operations. It can be maintenance and building. It's really an incredible opportunity for folks to see kind of the full spectrum of jobs within our industry.
And for people that are wondering maybe, is this for me or is this not for me, who would you say this job fair is for?
It's really for everybody. You know, this is for anybody that is looking for full or part-time work that has an interest in our industry. And I always tell people to give a broad mind of what that means, right? We've got over 1,100 members. That certainly includes what folks always think about, like hotels, restaurants, but it also includes transportation companies, security companies, business service companies, printers, florists. It's a really wide spectrum within our industry. And when you look at just not just the industry as a whole, but the opportunities within that, you know, a lot of our businesses are brick and mortar. Anything that goes with running any type of building, from HVAC, engineering, those opportunities are there as well. So for folks that are interested in looking for either a job or a career change or to start their job or career, it's just a great opportunity to see what's out there within this industry that plays such a big role within our community.
All of these companies that are listed, and I'll get a website from you in a second, all of the companies that are listed here are hiring, do you know, Kevin, or not?
Yes. So everybody that's at that Job Fest, every year we kind of send the call out to our members. Job Fest is coming up. Let us know about open positions. And we always get a really robust response. So at a typical Job Fest, you'll see anywhere from 25 to 40 employers there. We'll also have some nonprofits and groups that we work with that are interested in engaging the community, and see the Job Fest is a great way to do that, to provide additional support. So it's always a great event with a really motivated job seeker that's out there. And then our industry is engaged at so many levels in getting people on board. Typically at one of these, we'll see anywhere from 4 to 5 people hiring on the spot. So not only can you go there and get information, a lot of times they are ready to conduct interviews on the spot to get folks in that funnel and get them started.
Might just change your life. Tell people how they find out more about it. Is there a website, Kevin?
Yes, certainly. So you can follow us on our socials, New Orleans and Company. We're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, Facebook. The website is going to be neworleans.com/community. And on that community page, you can get more information about the Job Fest and more about New Orleans and Company in general. Again, this is going to be March 29th at Zulu Social Aid and Pleasure Club. So hope that folks can come out and join us from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I hope we change some lives. Thank you, sir. Kevin Ferguson, New Orleans & Company. We'll take a break, come back, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, we pause for WWL First News and Dave Cohen. 7:46, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday morning around these parts, around this time. We help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir, and happy Friday to you.
Sam, you know, I wanted to get to this real quick before we get to the agenda, and that is, I was in a retail outlet yesterday. I'm not going to say where I was, but the person had a beef, and it was apparent it was such a minor beef that the, and I don't want to go into details, but you could tell that the person was living above their means. And it, I thought of you and how you talked about the plan of everything going perfectly, that you can't live your life, your financial life, with the presumption that everything's going to go perfectly. And I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, about living within your means, yeah, before we get to the scheduled items.
Well, yeah, and Tom, I got some just a hodgepodge of things were coming through the economic news this week, and that's what I was going to kind of go over, and some quotes from Warren Buffett. Good. Because you had somebody on earlier in the week that was going to talk about stagflation. I really wanted to listen to it, and I wasn't able to. But as far as...
Oh, it was brilliant. You know, you missed it. My observations, yeah, especially, well, Mark.
Well, that's it. That's who... I'm not the guest. I wanted to hear what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, tell you what. Take me to lunch. I'll repeat it all verbatim.
Perfect. All you right. know, at the time, I see this... this is my 41st year in retail banking, and when I was going through college... Both my undergrad and grad were in economics. And somebody said, you know, there were studies 100 years ago. But somebody said, well, there's been study after study done that indicates if, you know, you're constantly feeding your head with certain information, well, there'll be an outcome that comes from that. So if you were feeding your head with economic studies, you become more conservative. I always thought that I was conservative already, conservative financially. And, you know, I never want to live above my means when you started with that. So but you see people around you, and it's like somebody's like, in good economic times, I live paycheck to paycheck. And my vision just blurs because I mapped that over to myself saying, I would never want to do that. It's very uncomfortable for me. I don't like that. I don't like the way it feels. I wouldn't like to walk around like that. I think it would bother me so much that I would, okay, well, then stop doing this because I've got migraines, you know, thinking about. But I've seen people, and for many of our listeners, you might recognize this where you're working. But for people, I've seen people with payrolls. If the payroll is supposed to post in the morning and then there's something that happens and it's like, well, no, it's going to be delayed until right after lunch, people will say out loud, well, then how am I going to afford lunch? I have no money. You know, if I was waiting for the payroll to post at 10, if it posts at 1, I've got trouble. And it's almost hard to believe. It's like, oh, if your finances are wound that tight, then, you know, like perfection, okay, everything's got to work. I've seen people, this is back, a long time, coming in, want to make a loan because the battery in their car went out. So I need a loan, and I need 6-8 months to pay it. And this is when battery—I don't know what happened to battery prices. They were up like a typical battery
crazy.
Now is $200.
It's crazy.
And, yes, and you can't buy 5-year batteries anymore. So I don't know what
battery
happened.
Battery used to be $39 bucks, but that's just a couple of guys griping.
You just pull that out of my head because it was. Yep. I was saying it's $39. You need 6 months to pay for it, and that's incredible in a bad way. And that's extraordinary to wind your finances up. But I also, on the other side of that, continue to believe that people don't do enough work for themselves. I mean, nobody's going to be more concerned about your money than you. So just a little work in that direction would free up some money. And it seems like everybody has a little bit of that. It's like, you know what? I didn't even notice. I got this magazine subscription that keeps charging my credit card automatically, and I really don't even, you know, look at the magazine. I've got a gym membership I haven't gone in 2 years. They keep charging my credit card every month, and that auto pay thing works very well for the merchant. because it's on auto pay. You don't want to worry about it every month, so you put it on auto pay. But when you change your mind and use a different service or want something else in life, then that charge keeps going. And I just don't think that and seeing enough people that have conversations, like, I don't think people do enough to say, well, let me, oh, and all the stuff is electronically delivered or not delivered at all. You need to log into your credit card company and see the charges that were made, see the stuff that was automatic, and say, oh, there's no doubt about it, I could free up some money here and not feel like that when my payroll is posting an hour later than it normally posts, and I'm pressing the panic button over something like that. I mean, it just doesn't feel comfortable. I don't know why anybody would surround themselves that way, but enough people do. It's just their focus isn't on finance, and I understand that. You can't be an expert at everything. And some of my physicians, read me the Riot Act. Well, did you do this twice a day and this three times a day? And you haven't been in here in 2 years, and you got to get blood every 15 minutes, and have blood test, whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, I can't. Some of that stuff is going to slip through. Well, that's what somebody tells me when we're talking about their finances, you know. So it's I'm guilty on the medical side. I need to be better about that. Like I'm saying, people need to be better about the financial side. But that's living beyond your means financially.
Yep.
So anyway, so what Warren was saying, Tommy, COVID ushered in a very different set of circumstances economically. You know, we had, in 2022, we had the Treasury yield curve, not to get too esoteric here, but what was happening was it was inverted. What does that mean? That short-term rates are higher than longer-term rates. So that is an economic mess, and what it's normally done is ushered in soon thereafter, once that position is created by the market, and sometimes artificially by, like, the Fed. It'll usher in a recession not long thereafter. Well, we suffered through this inverted yield curve, and it's been a mess for the financial institutions, banks, and it's horrible. But that was in that position for 783 days. That was the longest in U.S. economic history that we had that anomalous process where those rates were in that inverted position. And it's like everybody kept forecasting recession, because that normally brought a recession in, and it seems like the economy won't break. It seems like people just started spending money back to where we started here with spending too much money. People just kept spending the money and kind of propping up the economy, because that was the other thing that came out of COVID. When you were locked in your house for a couple of years, you want to break out and go crazy and buy some, take a trip, and all those things. So it seemed like we staved off recession. The yield curve has largely corrected itself. It's not perfect, but thank goodness it's not like it was, because that was a mess in that inverted position. But, you know, Warren Buffett came out earlier this week, just to fast forward to what he was saying. And he's like, you know, well, okay, if right now if some people are forecasting stagflation, some people keep forecasting a recession, it seems like it just doesn't happen. And then it gets to this cry wolf, I'm convinced, situation where it's like, well, you know, I've been hearing this so much, and everybody's still, you know, people are going to work, and the unemployment rate continues to be very low at 4%, 4.1%. That's a fantastic number. So people naturally are making money, and when you do that, you end up spending money. So this morning's economic news is going to have, you know, personal income is coming out, and it looks like it's registered already. It came out at twice the expected number, and personal spending came out is up also. And you and I have talked about these two statistics. They're in lockstep. Most of the people are working, they're going to be spending the money, and it's going to keep the economy propped. Go ahead.
I move that we pick this up on Monday, because I think it's everything when it comes to personal finance, and we'll stretch Monday Morning Markets with Mark to include this, because it is everything, and the market matters not if you have no money. Thank you, Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Valuable information as always. Traffic now, WWO.